Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
And we love News for the Soul.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Your True Identity with Christine Scott. Christine is a gifted and natural-born psychic who enjoys helping others along their spiritual and healing path. Let's welcome Christine to News for the Soul.
Here we go, Christine. Welcome back.
Hi, Nicole. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice and good that you can hear my voice. Very exciting. We're off and rolling. What's new?
Well, I actually had a bit of a revelation for me, too, actually, today on how to be a radio host and to do my own podcast. Honestly, it was kind of freaking me out a little bit, I think. And what I realized, I just need to be me, which is actually what the hour is about, your true identity, right? Not
ironic,
only how to
huh?
figure out, isn't it ironic? Yeah, exactly ironic. Not only how to be like myself in the physical form, but also how to figure out to be myself in a spiritual form. And that I'm, you know, we have this physical experience, but we also have the spiritual experience and how we make it both blend with grace and ease. So kind of an exciting day for me. Kind of a reaffirmation remembering, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard this before, but we teach what we most need to know. That's why I do a positive network or empowerment network, you know, every
Absolutely.
Day for almost 20 years. So, you know, it's
right.
how it works, and it's really cool.
And they come in all different ways and messages and forms and languages and people, right? All these different experiences that help us out.
That means you're right on track and in the perfect place. I love it.
It feels good.
Oh, well, why don't
tonight,
we get you to reintroduce
yeah.
yourself and your show before you dive in, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm Christine Scott with Your True Identity, and I'll be here every Monday evening from 4 p.m. Pacific time, correct? And we'll be talking about different ways, maybe different concepts, bringing in different speakers, some tools and techniques to make you live a life of grace and ease with a little bit more joy, happiness, and clarity. And this can either be for your physical existence, who we truly are, to be have a more genuine life, maybe release some trauma, release some past experiences that haven't worked so well, get greater understanding, or maybe more in a metaphysical sense, who we are truly as spiritual beings. You probably have all heard the saying that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. So that's kind of the track that this hour will take with people.
Awesome. So where would you
and tonight,
like to start today, Christine?
Tonight we're going to talk about angels and how what angels are to us, how they relate to the world around us, how we connect to them, how they're different than maybe spirit guides. And I'll just tell you a little bit about how I work a session when I'm working with a client. And I think that'll be helpful to kind of set a foundation of how the angels come into my practice. And really, they're with you all the time. They're invisible essences. So everybody has angels. Everybody works with them. But angels are very, I guess you could say, kind and considerate, and they don't interfere unless we call them in. They don't offer assistance unless we call them in. So when I start a session with somebody, first thing as I do is, I clear the space, I ground the space, I connect to my highest self, connect to my spirit, I affirm that that's there, I affirm themselves, and automatically, sometimes even when they're walking in the door, I will see their birth angel, their team of angels, who else is ever with them that's offering assistance, and then we'll get down to brass tacks and start wherever it is that they need to get some clarity with. And so I think I'd like to start with your birth angels, because anybody can Google angels or get a book on angels, and you can find out all kinds of information about names or types or the colors they come in. I'd rather talk about my own personal experience and how that helps the people that I work with, because just a list of names, you can find that on your own. And a birth angel is actually, I call them birth angels. A lot of people call them guardian angels. They're really both the same. I think a guardian angel is maybe a religious term. It makes you feel good that somebody's always with you. But a birth angel is an angel that agrees to be with you from moment of conception throughout your whole life experience until you pass over and you meet your next birth angel, like in between lives. And angels are different than spirit guides or master guides because they actually are different DNA. They're different chemical makeup. They're much more of a crystalline body. And for us humans, we reside in third dimensional vibrational frequency or fourth or fifth. Angels are 14th dimension and above. So you just have a higher, purer connection to source, creation energy, or God, universe, whatever you choose to call it. And so your birth angel knows your birth, they know your blueprint, and they know the plan for your life experience. They know who's going to participate in it. They know what experience you've set up for yourself. So they kind of are, what would you call them? They're really your communicators. And that's actually the Hebrew or the Greek name for angel. It actually means messenger. So it's a way for you to communicate with God and a way for you to communicate with spirit. They're kind of intermediaries for us because we don't always hear what's going on, don't see what's going on. And they also bring us divine messages, maybe for the human consciousness or a group of, many times you see a group of angels in hospitals or in the political scene. So there's angels all over, but your birth angel is one that's just specific to you and stays with you throughout your whole life experience. And then, so a lot of religions have termed that your guardian angel. Angels are also very different from spirit guides or master guides because they will not interfere with your life. They won't change your course unless you're in dire not need, but in case there's a great chance that you're going to check out early, leave your physical body, if that's not part of your plan. I had the coolest experience a couple years ago. I was working with this young gal, and she had a lot of trauma, was trying to figure out marriage and a whole bunch of different things. And first thing I asked her, I said, when did you break your ankle? And she explained that, I was like 12 and I broke my ankle, and it was the silliest thing because I was really just walking down my stairway, and next thing I knew, my ankle broke. And I said, well, honey, there was actually an angel standing on your feet. This happened twice in her life. An angel was standing on her feet, and you could actually see the angel wings and everything. And angels kind of look like people for the most part, but they have wings. If you've ever seen the movie Michael with John Travolta, those wings that kind of go from the top of his head all the way down the feet, that's what I see a lot. You can actually see the feathers and everything. But this particular angel stood on her feet and prevented her from completing the act of committing suicide, because that's where she was headed, to go onto her car in her garage. Happened again about another 8 years later when the same thing, she was trying to commit suicide, and the angel came in and physically stood on top of her and prevented her from doing that, which I just thought was so amazing and so cool. But once we did that, then we could figure out where the healing work needed to be done, and we could help her move forward from there.
How did the prevention come about? Like, how did that, what are the details of that?
Yeah. Well, literally, once she broke her ankle, then the pain was so intense, her mom was able to come in. The first time her mom was there, because she was only, I can't remember if she was 12 or 8, but it kind of just distracted her from her thoughts. And then she got more involved in recovery from the broken ankle, because she actually had to have pins put in her ankle because it was a pretty severe break. And then it opened up a connection for her and her mom. And she kind of got out of herself a little bit and could see that she was important in life and that, because she was just, it was going back to a lot of old soul history of where she was not acknowledged. And so that was kind of what, that gave her the time and space to be with her mom again and to let other people in life, even the caretakers, the nurses, and the surgeon that was involved with her. And she kind of felt the soul kind of felt a reinvigoration of worthiness. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
And
how did she make the connection that it was the angels, or was that later when you were doing the reading with her?
She had no idea. It wasn't until we were doing the reading. And I asked her, I said, "Your feet feel heavy?" And she said, "Well, yeah, actually they do." And I said, "Well, you know, there's an angel standing on your feet right now." And I said, "They're nose to nose to you." And she could actually feel kind of like a warmth, because angels will come in sometimes and you will feel warmth. You almost feel like you're being embraced, like a cloak is being put over you, a blanket's being put over you if you're sensitive to touch. And then once I saw the angel there, I could ask the angel what they were doing, why they were there. And that's when they told me, the one angel told me that they were re-experiencing, wanted me to understand and show and tell her what the broken ankle actually meant, because many times she felt lost and abandoned and like she was all alone and had no help in the world. So your angels are always with you. And we have many more than just one angel working with us. We normally have a spiritual team working with us. Oh, that was another thing I wanted to clarify. You can have more than one birth angel. It just depends on the work you're coming in to do. So you can have two or three or one or six, or, and they're just angels that stay with you your whole life. There's other teams of angels depending on what their task is. For instance, you may be at a hospital. I was at a hospital one time, and it was really cool because I was with my sister-in-law, and I looked up at the top of the bed, and I saw three angels at the top of her bed, and they were singing. Angels do come through music a lot, and if you're sensitive, you can hear them in your ear, or maybe feel itchy in your ear or ringing. But anyhow, I looked up at the top of the bed, and I saw three angels, and they were there to help her. She was going through a cancer diagnosis, was very fearful. Angels were really there just for peace and calm, and to make sure that no mistakes happened with her test or her blood draws or anything like that. Then I looked above, and you could see angels all above the hospital facility, almost like wing to wing. And then you look down a little bit further, and you could see angels. They're actually like color-coded, almost like you would see in the hospital, color-coding for maybe patients' files or type of work that need to be done, or the color-coding you have on blood vials. That's kind of what the angels looked like. And that was more of a symbolic, kind of a symbolic organization kit they gave me. But there would be angels in surgery. There would be angels during procedures. There would be angels teaching angels to make sure that whoever needed some comprehension, whether it was, the medical team that was in the hospital, whether they need some clarity and understanding of how to perform a procedure, or if they were there to make mistakes and the patient, they'd agreed to let some kind of mishap or mistake happen as a learning tool, either physically or spiritually for the people and participants involved. So there was those types of angels. There's angels in the nursery, because angels, besides your birth angel, there's delivery angels. So there's angels that work with the team and work with you and your body to make sure that the delivery goes smoothly or goes according to however you've set up your birth plan. There's angels that are there when people cross over. There's transition angels. There's, everywhere you look, there's angels. They're here to help us in every manner, shape, and form. But you have to call them in. And when you call them in, you just have to be very specific and clear about what you're asking for, and then just be patient. I work. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, if you wanted to do like an example connection, would you like to take a live caller and maybe tune into their...
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we can kind of get a sense of how it works. Area code 651, you're now live with Christine Scott on News for the Soul. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from? Hello, caller. Never know. Okay, we got problems with the lines. I spoke too soon. Maybe do an example with me while we refresh the switchboard and we get an idea of how it works.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm seeing your birth. You have two birth angels that are with you that came in about 9 months before you were conceived, 9 to 10 months before you were conceived. They came in and started helping on your blueprint and your plan for life. These angels, to me, are very blue. Angels look different, too. Sometimes you see them with wings, and sometimes they're just streaks of color. They give me a lot of information. But you have angels. Your angels are blue, mostly through what we would consider the head region down about to the heart. And then there's a lot of yellow, and there's some divine whiteness around it. And angels, because you're a communicator, and you're a communicator, that's whatever you do in life, whether you had this job or a grocery store clerk or a mailman or a doctor, your main task in life is to communicate and to connect people. So that's kind of the vibration they're attached to with you. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
To make sure that you always kind of are on that path. You can always choose not to be on that path, right? But they're here with you there. You also have another angel, Genevieve, and she is actually she's a seraphim. And sometimes angels show up, male or female, but in general, they're kind of non-sexual. They may have more female energy or more male energy connected to them. But this one, Genevieve, is giving. So you would know this better than me because I'm not picking up the reason. But she's bringing you courage for the next phase of your life. For the next 7 years, you're going to need courage.
Hmm.
Not that life's going to be difficult, but that you can. What's she trying? I'm just listening real quickly. Not that life will be difficult. Not she's like scratching the word difficult out almost, and she looks like she has an eraser in her hand, like she's scratching it off, erasing it off the blackboard, but that you can do more than you ever thought possible, that you can be bigger, that you have the courage to be bigger and broader and more brilliant, like shine your light brighter than you ever could even imagine in your wildest dreams. She's also told me that you're onto a second, it's like they're turning the pages. So you've completed a lot of your first life plan, and you're into a next second, kind of a second blueprint that you agreed to do. And people, I don't know if it's you or just maybe working you, but there's sometimes fear around you or fear of change. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, right? So the seraphim angels are there, and they're enormous. When they look angelic form to me, they look like they're about 18 feet tall. They have three sets of wings. I see six total. And for you, they have blue, kind of gold, and then silver tipped. And if they're when they show kind of more of a physical form, like a human form, they're still about 18 feet tall. They go way through my ceiling, but they're very, very thin, almost like a, you know, in that movie Beauty and the Beast, there's the candle Lumiere. That looks like a person. That's what they look like. They're just very, very tall and skinny. That's like a candle. But they're here to help you transform the energy, really the beingness of fear, into courage. And that it's okay and that we can all be courageous and making different choices in life of being more compassionate and kind and understanding with each other. So something that you're doing, I don't even know if you have an inkling of what that is yet, and it has a lot to do with water. And did we talk earlier about you going across the ocean?
No.
Like a couple of shows ago? Yeah.
Maybe we did, and I forgot.
Yeah, I can't remember. But I see you going across the ocean, and there's other people. There's other people coming towards you, another man, or a man, I should say, that will help with this endeavor you're taking on. As you choose to step into it, right now you've been working on it on an unconscious level. So it's not really too much in your conscious frame of reference. But you're mulling it and you're... Do you ever get not so much anxiety, but just kind of turmoil in your stomach sometimes?
I used to, really bad. I know something big is coming. And,
coming, right? Yeah.
I'm more surrendered to it, but, yeah, I still get that.
Right, right, yeah, that's totally understandable. So Genevieve will help you kind of, she actually, sometimes if you feel a pushing on your back, she's like not, she's not going to interfere because you have your own free will, but sometimes she just gives you a little assistance to look to the future and that you're, it's possible that you can do everything that you agreed to and that you're more than capable to do it.
Do you get any insight on what the big thing is?
Yeah, let's look.
I can't see it.
Can't quite see what it is, right? And to me, when I look at it, it's around the corner. It's right around the corner. Yep. And I hear you're not quite ready for it because it'll scare the bejesus out of you. For lack of a better way. Yeah. And it's it is surrender and giving up and surrendering. So this may sound a little odd, but you know, we talk about angels being divine beings of light, and they're connected to God. There are other divine beings of light that aren't necessarily in the Bible or aren't necessarily in people's frame of references. So you have a place, honey, and there are Christed ETs, there are divine beings coming to the planet. They're actually already here that are going to help people, but they're going to be, more people are going to acknowledge them and know them, and you have a part of that in bringing that. Not so much, I don't know if it's exposure or disclosure, but when people, you know, so it could be like, have you heard of Palladians or Arcturians?
Yeah.
Yes, they're beings from another dimension, another galaxy, another place, right? So as we get more help and more assistance from them, there's some people that are going to be fearful of that and automatically going to think that they're here to harm us. You have, and it comes right up from your solar plexus a little bit, but you have a whole team of angels that you work with and about 1,200 people on the planet. You have 400 that work with you. They sit, I don't know if you have an office for it, but they sit in the office with you. That you will help, I don't know if disseminate's the right word, but it almost looks like it's dissolving. Looks like if I had a piece of paper and I put it in water, it kind of dissolved. It's a little shredded piece and just kind of separated went into nothingness. They're helping you do that with the energy. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Have you seen the movie Arrival?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I saw the original, though.
Is that
actually out now?
Yeah, and I just saw it last night. I was wondering why. I was so tired, but I went and saw it anyway. So along those lines, that there's invisible essences here with us all the time, and as people's veil drop, we're just going to see more of it. So, like when I was a little girl, people talked about angels, and it was wasn't very well received. Like only, you know, who would I be to talk to an angel or to see an angel that kind of went against God? Now more and more people, there's a study out of Harvard University, I think in 2008 or 2011, and when they interviewed 6,000 participants, over half believed in angels. And about about 23% claim to have an angelic intervention or angelic experience. So the world is shifting and allowing that, and our own veil is dropping.
And we feel that. We know that.
Right.
We know
yeah.
that. You know, yeah.
Yeah. We know it's coming. And what... like I said earlier in the program, if somebody wants to know about angels, they could go read a book or they could go, Google stuff and get the names and what they mean and all that. But what I'm being prompted to talk about tonight is the dark angels. And I work with them a lot. Yeah. And they are the coolest. They are the coolest beings, and they bring such help. They help me be they tell me I'm a metaphysician because you can change energy very quickly and make whatever it was in your life experience neutral. You can move disease. You can just move a lot of things out. You just transform it. And what the dark angels do, they're like the deepest, deepest, deepest midnight blue you can imagine. They're just absolutely gorgeous. And they have all this sparkly, almost looks like teeny tiny rhinestones looks to me something like a singer would wear, like on her gown, you know, that deep, sparkly beading, kind of. But that's what the angels look like to me. And they normally work in pairs or more. And what they do, the only reason they're called dark angels is they can go down into the deepest, darkest energy, the deepest, darkest experience that a soul has had. They can go to what we call the dark soul of the night, and they can find it and clear it and bring it forward. So that with the person, the soul, the aspect doesn't have to keep carrying that kind of luggage and baggage with them, and they can find forgiveness and love and joy.
Mm.
So people always think of angels as being light, and these are light. They're just so much, they're denser. Like I talked earlier about angels being crystalline beings. And an angel wouldn't really, well, I shouldn't say really, not never do they come and take physical form or show up on Earth, but not that often. It's a little tricky maneuver to come in and take physical form because it's energy they're not used to being in. And it's kind of uncomfortable, and they can only do it for short periods of time. But these dark angels can go there and spend time there and kind of dig around in the Akashic Records, the soul's history, to figure out what's wrong. For instance, yesterday I did a reading with this lovely young lady, and she was having a really, really hard time accepting that she was a good mom. Even though people told her, from all appearances, she was a good mom, her daughter, who was only 4 years old at the time, would always, she still is four, would hold her face all the time and say, "Mommy, you're a good mommy, you know, I love you." But part of her couldn't quite believe it. I dig a little deeper, and I said, "Was there times that you were suicidal?" And she said, "Yes, when I was, I think she said when she was 20. So right away, these dark angels showed up. And they went into the dark recesses of her soul where she just chose a different experience, chose one that was not quite all light. And sometimes you find the very beginning or just find something that makes sense and attaches to all the other experiences. This particular appearance, I'm not sure if it was actually the beginning. I think it was the very beginning where the suicidal thoughts came in. Somewhere along the line, she had an experience of a murder-suicide pact. And this daughter that she had now was a participant, was actually one of the daughters. She had 12 children at this time, and she was female in this life experience. Murder-suicide pact, kind of a little manipulation control from the male partner, from the husband in the lifetime. And then after that, she tried it kind of another way. Well, I'll be the murderer, and I'll have somebody else be the suicide. So trying that other experience. Then the next lifetime coming in, when she did her life review, she looked at the ramifications of the children who now had parents who were in a murder-suicide pact, right? Then that time she really felt the pain of her actions. She couldn't get over it and couldn't forgive herself. So every time she had a lifetime, as soon as she'd hit 20, it was almost like a time, I think it was 20 or 22, the timer would go off, and she'd have this urge to commit suicide again. Many lifetimes she followed that urge because it was part of her, one of the options on her life plan, right? So that that's why there wasn't angelic interference. The soul that's now her daughter, the four-year-old, forgave her many, many lifetimes ago, but the mom wasn't able to do that. So these dark angels were able to work with us and kind of transform the energy, and the client I was working with actually felt the heaviness of this experience leave her body. Not everybody's able to feel that, but it actually felt like, she said it felt like just the weight was off her chest and the bar that had been on her back since almost as long as she could remember was just removed. Isn't that just the coolest thing?
Amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So they just have different tasks to do. And when if you do look at religion or look at books about angels or angel cards, they kind of put them in categories, or they put them in different, hierarchies, right? When I talk to the angels, they say that's just a way for us to compartmentalize them and have a kind of a linear way of looking at spiritual help. The angels tell me they don't really care how we identify them or how we categorize them. They say they're all one. They all come from the same energy. They're all here to do the same work. The only difference I see is archangels. Michael, Uriel, Raphael shows up. I work with him a lot. I work with, I never know if I'm pronouncing it right, but Zadkiel. I work with him a lot. They show up. And these all show up as male form, but I know there are archangels that are female form. They do show wings to me. I know why. Because they work with teams of angels. So, like, Archangel works with protection, and he works with protection, but he has, like, minions, and he has, like, teams of angels, armies of angels that work with him. Archangels work with large groups of other angels. That's why they're called arch, in my understanding, the way they explained to me. And then other angels, like there's angels of fire and light, there's angels, healer angels, there's angels of communication, there's angels of justice, there's just every kind of concept you could think of, there's an angel or group of angels attached to them. Those angels normally show up as colors to me. Or they show up as more etheric, you know, less physical form. But then they always tell me why they're here and what their colors mean. Let's see. So, for instance, if I get a blue, let's see, blue angels are communication, but they also come in for protection, courage, and strength. I'm actually just kind of, they're showing a figure in front of my face right now of a person. And it looks like a little tiny, it looks like a milk dead hot head. So it's telling me the etheric body of the person. And then the wings where their angelic divinity is kind of stored. And then their heart and their organs and their legs and all that. And so, so what they're showing me is a roadmap for somebody. They're actually showing me, I hope he doesn't mind, but they're showing me my husband's roadmap. I guess he volunteered to be an explanation for how angels show up in front of me. And he's got like one, let me make sure I'm okay. His left arm is almost, they're expansive. He's just showing me his energy field. It's very, very expansive. And so this is where the different teams of angel that he's going into the next 12 months. So he's got a lot of blue on one arm because he protects our family and has a lot of courage and strength. The other arm, I see a lot of orange because he's going into new creative phase, and he's getting more comfortable being intimate with his own thoughts. Red, kind of on the fingertips of his red, I'm just listening, so if I stutter, just bear with me. In his right hand, I see a lot of red, which is security, that he's secure in his own, he's getting secure in his own divine beingness, and he's accepting the support from the angelic and divine realms, and he's learning how to ground his own energy, ground his own divine energy into his physical body. Then I'm seeing, what else am I seeing? I see a lot of green. They look like tendrils coming up. They look like, you know, when you take a ribbon, that curling ribbon, and you curl it and let it go. So I like see green tendrils coming off of him. That's where he's got wholeness, unity, and healing that he's doing. Oh, so that's cool. So he's unifying his spiritual experience into one story, kind of, where you raise your consciousness, and it's not so important what the different life stories were, all the different life past experiences were. You just take all your wisdom and knowledge and make it one complete being. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's what he's working on right now. I've never seen that without working on somebody physically, but thank you for gifting that to me so I could make an explanation. Many times, I just heard somebody ask, like, well, how do I know if an angel's with me? Angels do send physical, tangible messages to us, in case you can't hear or see in your own head. Angels will give us numbers many times. So pay attention to maybe the clock, you know, if you have a digital clock, license plates, things like that. If you keep seeing repetitive numbers,
11,
and repetitive 11. Numbers, yeah, it can be 11-11, or it can be maybe see 7-5-9, but you see it a lot. That's another way of having a repetitive number. And there's a great website that I always refer people to. It's called Joanne Scribes, Joanne, S-C-R-I-B-E-S, angel numbers. And you can just type in, you can go there, Google it, and put in whatever angel number you're seeing, and she'll have an explanation. Whatever you get that angel number, you still have to have some discernment of yourself once you read that to see how it relates to you and what they're trying to tell
that
you. But does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, when I see them, I get a message with it. It's not just that I'm seeing a number, but it's in a moment where it's important and maybe I've asked a question or I'm stressed out about something,
right.
And I get a sense of a presence and guidance along with the verification of the number. Like, it's more than just seeing a number for me.
Right. They give you a couple different tangible
things
to hang on to, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been, what about when you're in the shower?
I do not see numbers in the shower.
Here, pay attention when they're in the shower, because they're going to try and communicate with you in a different manner. So there again, they're pushing you out of your comfort zone, that you have to get information from other people, that you have the wisdom and knowledge and you really have everything you need within yourself. That's what I just heard a bingo. So when you turn your corner, remember we talked earlier about you, there's that corner, and it looks like a rounded corner, you can't quite get there. Once you pass that corner, that's when you kind of are more comfortable and just be in the cold and that your own divine wisdom is correct. And you can still get confirmation from other people or other sources, but they're leading you into that because you are leading. Looks like you're at a table, a conference table, and here they're all equal participants, but you have to have a voice and you have to be very sure what you're saying without – kind of reminds me of myself right now – but you have to be very sure of what you're saying, right? And that no holds bar, you don't hold anything back. And that's what's around. There's probably other things around the corner too, right? But they want you to listen in the shower because you're going to get, you might even feel like a little tingly across the top of your head from like one ear over the crown, kind of like a crinkling, like, not really electrical, but just very subtle. Or you're going to, another way they're going to talk to you, Nicole, is music. So you may hear a song and you're not really paying attention to it, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm listening to the music, right? And then listen to what the message of the music is or how you feel when you listen to that music. That's a preferred method I hear. And you're not listening to much music right now, are you?
Well, I do when I teach dance. But not enough.
Oh, you teach dance? Cool. Yeah.
Belly dance.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they want you to listen to music more often and just kind of have it on in the background.
Yeah, I don't do that enough.
Yeah, they really would like that because that's something you have on your divine plan as a way of communicating with a divine source.
Interesting. It feels
pretty cool.
Feel very plugged in when you're tuning in to when callers call in or when I talk to you in this way, and I can really feel that you're in there. It's very validating and authentic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try not to dig too, don't want to tickle anybody, but I like to get in there and find out what's going on, right?
it's very cool.
Yeah, because I just have a lot of help. Yeah, I just have a lot of help, and I just kind of stand out of the way. I'm kind of the physical messenger, right? Yeah.
So I have no idea if the board's working, but let's give it another go.
Okay,
and
let's give it a try.
Carry on.
Sure.
Let's give 651 another try. Area code 651, or if you're on the board and you've been holding a while, this is your chance. Who do we got there? What's your first name? Where are you calling from? Hello. Nope, the board's not working. Okay, well, at least you and I are connected this time.
That's okay. We'll
it's progress
keep going.
In the right direction. Yes.
Yeah. Let me see where else they want me to go. They're just talking about very clear. I've got like three of them talking in my ear, so they just need to talk one at a time. Oh, they'd like me to talk about the archangels. Just a little kind of brief tutorial. of how they can
okay.
work with you. And these are the ones I remember I see. They have the big, big wings, and they show up. Well, they show up a lot, but a lot of times they show up in the physical healings I do with people. As I said earlier, Archangel Michael. Oh, so this is a tool he'd like me to give people that you can use. And, again, you don't have to be in the presence of a experienced practitioner, right? Religion, they're like angels are here for everybody. You can go to church and have your priest, your minister, or your, you know, whoever you work with, whatever culture you're with, your rabbi, help you. But you can also just do it in yourself. Archangel Michael is really here to help us cut cords and attachments and energies that we have to other people. Sometimes you have and beliefs, and really beliefs that no longer work for us, or patterns. A lot of times they're core beliefs that we carry from our family. So he, he's kind of funny tonight, but he's tall. He's got silver wings with a little blue on it. He has a lot of gold. He has a great big gold belt, but he has a sword of freedom. And he just asks people that you kind of take it in front of you and you kind of do it intuitively, even if it feels kind of silly. If you're feeling heavy or feeling like you can't get away from your own thoughts, when you have repetitive thoughts, that kind of like on our hamster wheel and keeps going around, especially when they're self-derogatory thoughts, he wants you to take this invisible sword that he hands you and kind of go from head to toe and just cut slicing it, slashing it, almost ribbons, because he'll do the work, but he wants you to participate. He also wants you to, isn't that interesting? Can kind of, so it's kind of, it is a leap of faith for people that maybe haven't experienced this or it's a new concept for them. Just try it and you will feel lighter. You will, because what angels really want to do is they want to bring you back to the plane of bliss where they reside. And the more we can clear the baggage and clear the life experiences that really are less than love, then we can bring that plane of bliss into our everyday life. And you can experience joy and happiness just by way of being, not as a way of reacting to something. He also is telling me to tell our listeners that use him as a protection shield, that if you are getting, he says he's working a lot with the young children that are getting bullied, the teenagers and the children that are getting bullied a lot. He's got armies posted in schools, hospitals, ice rinks. I'm sorry, it's going so fast I can't get the words out, but just where children would hang out, right? And he's got, he has placed protectors around. He wants me to clarify that children are still getting bullied, right? Because that's some of them that they've taken on the experience of being bullied, or they've been a bully, or, you know, there's lots of stories. So sometimes we don't know how the angelic realm is really working because they help us shift things and we don't really know that it was going to happen or didn't happen, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So if they're a protector to prevent somebody from being bullied, we don't really know that it happened because the child was never bullied. So there's not a cause and effect, right?
Right.
They're also working with, he's got teens working at Standing Rock. He's got teens across the globe. He's got teens working with law enforcement. He's got teens all over. So just call him in whenever you feel like you need protection from another soul, a family member, a coworker, anybody that's, or if you get drained with people, sometimes you get drained, people see our energies, you can just put yourself in a protective bubble. It's like an egg. Yeah, you know, it almost looks like, I used to watch TV a lot, so it looks like the egg from Mork and Mindy. People remember that, but it's just an etheric egg.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and just kind of put yourself in it. Or a hamster wheel. Or not hamster wheel, but those hamster toys where you put your hamsters in, they roll around the floor, it's that real thick plastic. Mm. So Archangel Michael says, put yourself in that, and you're blue. And then on the outside rim is kind of a platinum silver, so that anything coming at you that's less than love kind of gets dissolved and sent back to their originator so that they can understand whatever it is they're sending to you. Another bubble you can put, and you just kind of pick which option works, feels right to you. Another one, you put yourself in a pink bubble, and that's just all love and divine assistance. Anything coming at you, he works on Archangel Michael and Archangel Uriel both work with this pink energy. Archangel Michael, not so much. I don't see him, but he's telling me he's wants people to have this information. So you put yourself in this pink bubble, and it's all love. And as things come at you that are less than love, the energy just dissolves. It doesn't necessarily go back to the originator, but just dissolve the thought, the patterns, the behaviors that are coming from other people that are trying to kind of attach to us. That makes sense?
Mm.
And then Archangel Gabriel is here, and he looks kind of a turquoise color to me. You know, it's funny because they're changing colors almost right in front of my face. Oh, and I hear now why they're doing that. Because, again, it's not so much that we have to know who we're going to and have a very specific task. It's like just ask for help. If you need help, say, I need help clearing confusion. I need help healing my heart. Whatever you need, the angelic realm will hear you. That's why they keep changing their colors. They're not, like, so specific, because they don't want us to be so specific and get caught into rigidity and what's right and wrong. But Archangel Gabriel shows up, and he shows up when people are going into new endeavors. He works with entrepreneurs a lot. He works with new experiences when people need hope. So he just took a paintbrush, and he's painting the whole earth. He started, like, in the Middle East. And he's painting the whole earth for hope. Because there is, I don't have another word beside hope, but it's beyond reconciliation, beyond hope. It's a fact. That's what it is. It's a fact that we're changing dimensions, times, and frequencies. And all the pain, sorrow, and distress that we see and feel now is on its way out. But we need the vibration frequency of hope of Archangel Gabriel and all the other angels he works with, so that we can feel it, hold it, and kind of own it as our own. Archangel Uriel is also here, and he's showing me, it's like in the center of his chest, it's all yellow, and then it goes to a majestic purple with a little bit of silver on the end. He's here to help people find their own wisdom. He helps clear up confusion. If there's a lot of chaos in your life, he helps you bring peace. He tells me he's a clarifier. So these may be different definitions than you would find on a book of angels or a website. But they tell me these are the most basic, kind of cut to the chase, simple ways of understanding the tasks that they, you know, the energies they work with. It's basically the energies they work with. And years ago when we had put it into biblical terms, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam typically are the religions that identify and acknowledge angels. We had to label them and classify them and make them understandable for us. And also was a way of kind of controlling our behavior, right and wrong, maybe a little bit of fear put in there. And they say that's just hogwash. We need to release us all from that definition, right? Other religions, Hindu, Buddhism, others, which I admit I'm not that familiar with, they still have angelic beings. It doesn't matter if you believe them or not. They call them, I believe the word's Deva. They have other entities, right? But you still get the same help. You still have angels there. It doesn't matter how you define them. The help is still there. They do the same thing. Uriel's here a lot, and he's helping. It's just a lot of confusion. Where is he helping them? He says he's helping with, I hadn't heard this until just this moment. He's helping a lot of the new souls coming in, because some of the new souls coming in and taking physical form, they had kind of hoped that we would have some of this cleared up by now. So they're a little confused, like when they start coming in, they see the energy around. It's like, well, you guys kind of said you'd be further along with compassion, love, acceptance, understanding, justice. And we're not doing poorly, right? We're actually doing pretty well, but kind of like, well, I need to come in and clear our energy. So he just helps clear the energy around it so that these babies can come in with their own wisdom intact and not get affected by the energies around them. I see Zadkiel around, and he comes in with freedom, helps people earn, not earn forgiveness, that was not the right term, but help people find forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others. He also shows up a lot with, at least in my practice, shows up with Lady Amethyst. They're both kind of this beautiful violet, they smell like lilacs to me, but this beautiful violet flowing, I can hear the harmonies of a harp that comes with them, and they bring freedom, freedom of all, all, you know, all the bindings in life, the religious beliefs that no longer serve us, the parental beliefs that don't serve us, the institution, that's what I was trying to say, the institutional beliefs that don't serve us anymore so that we can be free of thought and have our own connection to divine love and light. He also, and she also helps us have self-love and love of others. Who else is here? So Raphael just showed up, Archangel Raphael, and that's, from my perspective, I'm sure he does other work too, but he's kind of like a head healer angel. He helps with healers of all types, metaphysical and, I guess, physical healers, doctors, dentists, chiropractors, EMTs, paramedics, medicine men, you know, energy workers, any type of healers, teachers, anybody who has a healing vibration, no matter what their title in life is. He's kind of an overseer. He works with people a lot with that. And then they all have, you know, their teams of angels that work with them. Let's see where else they want me to go. Also, oh, so angels of joy. So what they tell me is they want us to have more giggles in life, right? So they direct us to more higher frequency vibration through the musicians, the actors, the screenwriters, the voice of the human consciousness. Do whatever you can that makes us happy, whether it's watching a comedy show that makes us laugh a little bit. They say actually tickle each other. Actually get on the floor and start tickling each other. If you're a parent or child, big belly laughs. There are highly suggesting that we have 15 belly laughs a day. Sometimes you have to actually create a belly laugh, like, ha, ha, you have to kind of, you know, dig deep and just make your own belly laugh. Just do it, because that raises the vibration and frequency of you, which raises the vibration and frequency of the person next to you, which raises the vibration and frequency of the planet. So bring in more laughter that gets you used to and attached to the vibration of happiness, and the next level is joy, and then the next level is bliss. Kind of a very simple 30-second review of what they would like us to do. Create more laughter. Smile just for the sake of smiling, right? Don't have the resting face where there's no expression on it. There are physical things we can do in our everyday life to increase our vibration and frequency. And they are just here to tell us that, yes, they're here to support us and they will do everything, but they're asking us to kind of pick up our pace a little bit and be more intentional in the world we're creating. And then one other thing is they want me to let everybody know that, of course, animals have angels. Animals have birth angels. Animals have transition angels. Animals, the angels that I see with animals look like animals to me. Like I'm looking at my cat right now. There's a little pig angel right above him. And my cat's actually a healer cat. So they have the same help and assistance that we do, but they have more group, like a group of maybe 30 cats, or, you know, something. They'd have one or two angels working with them instead of specific individuals like we do. But they still, and they said, back that up a little bit, Christine, because specific animals, an individual animal will have an individual angel working with them. It just depends on what they're doing and the consciousness of the animal. For instance, a seeing eye dog probably has an angel that works only with that eye dog, with that dog. If that makes sense. We're using a lot of animals in therapy now, going into nursing homes, schools. I even saw them at the airport. Therapy dogs are at the airport because people are getting stressed out if their planes are delayed. There's a specific teams of angels that work at the airports that work with these therapy dogs. No, they're all over. There's these dogs that have to go to war. They all get an individual team of 6 or 7 angels for each dog. Yeah. Very cool. So some new information is coming through before that I haven't either paid attention to or just hasn't come up in practice. So what I'm being prompted to tell whoever's listening now or at a later broadcast, one, say hello to your angel. You don't have to know who it is or where they are or male or female or name. Just say hello, kind of reintroduce yourself. Tell them that you're here to participate in a more intentional way in your life. Think out maybe just the next week. What's your intention for the next week? Be very specific. Give as much detail as you like. Maybe it's like, maybe I'm hearing, you know, I would like to make a new friend. I need more friendships in my life, genuine friends who see me and love me for who I truly am. So every day you ask for that help from the angel of friendship, right? And then you tell them, I am accepting the help, and I surrender to the process, whatever that means. And then just ask for it every day. If you ask for it 30 times a day, it's more helpful. If you ask for it once a day, that's okay too. But just letting them know that you are, you know, you're kind of walking the walk and you truly mean what you're saying. Because you can actually, if you're sensitive to energy, you can feel them come in and out. When you ask for something, you feel them get real close to your body, and when the doubt starts coming, they kind of back off and they get like a block away because they do not violate that free will. And I hear just one other thing is they do come through Christmas songs. So if you're Christian and you have Christmas songs, you know when you get that kind of feeling of bliss, that is another way their vibration comes through the music. Or whatever your, and I'm sorry, I'm so specific to Christian religion right now. That's just what I was brought up in, and that's kind of my go-to. But whatever your religion is, whatever your music is that makes you feel better about yourself and brings connection to others, which is communion, the angelic realm comes in through that.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
And here we are. We've arrived at the, we've got a show right behind us, so we've got
okay.
4 minutes
I need
to
stop,
the top,
so.
Christine. That went really fast.
Yeah. Good show. All I had to do was accept myself just the way I am, right? Kind of interesting, huh?
Yay.
How that works. Yay. Don't fight it, right?
Right,
but anyhow,
exactly.
I would love to offer people the opportunity to, if they choose to, book a reading with me this month, the whole month of December, and I will take 20% off my fee, which really isn't that important. But when you do book a reading with me, you can expect to come away with a sense of well-being, that we will bring forward what's most important for you to know at this time. And I really don't lead the session. You and your higher self lead the session. What you will do is you'll come in and you'll tell me what maybe your area of interest or where concerns you have or where your curiosity is. I won't tell you things that you already know. My readings always serve a purpose. They are a tool for you to bring harmony to your mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical being. If needed, we will go do a physical healing. But many, many times my readings and my sessions with people have to do with emotional healing and clearing. If necessary, other people will participate, either, you know, they can be alive or dead, physical form or not, but they just have to have, they have to give us permission to do that. But even without working without other people in our family or connections, we can still do a lot of healing work and clear things up. It happens pretty quickly that we don't necessarily have to go through years and years and years of stories to change the energy. If it's more of just a informational conversation, you know, I'll just download information from your highest self, different aspects of yourself, which is really just your soul's history, what makes sense to you at that time and how to help you at that time. And you can find me on my website, which is yourtrueidentity.com. I also have a Facebook page you can like, Christine Scott. There are a couple of books that I recommend for somebody that's maybe just looking for a new way of looking at life and a different direction. One that I find very helpful for a lot of my clients is Conversations with God with Neil Donald Walsh. Sometimes that gives you a better understanding when you come in that you are a physical being, or I'm sorry, a spiritual being having a physical life. When you come into our sessions, we will look at beliefs, thoughts, behaviors that are no longer serving you and how to change that. The whole point of a session with me is to move you out of wherever you're at now, to bring you into a place of more grace and ease, that life is more fulfilling, satisfying, and that we can bring in that joy and bliss that we talked about earlier. There.
Really? Well, we've got you all linked
good?
Up right at newsforthesoul.com. Perfect, Christine. It was great and a pleasure today. Be you, do you, and it's perfect, just the way it is.
Thanks, Nicole.
Nope. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, honey. Good night.
All right, bye for now. Christine Scott is all linked up at newsforthesoul.com. Catherine Bright, connect to Creator next on News for the Soul.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.